Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
With us, as she is at this time every Wednesday now, Florida International University professor and vaccine clinic commander, Dr. Eileen Marty. And there certainly is a lot to talk to you about. Good morning, Dr. Marty.
Good morning. How are you today, Bob?
Well, wondering, like everybody else, about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And will the pause continue, and for how long? What do you think?
Well, what they want to do is figure out why it's happening to very, very, very few people and see if it's in any way connected to the you know, if it's the same mechanism that has recently been elucidated for the AstraZeneca vaccine, because they have very similar technologies. So we're going to take a hard look at that, because what's important to figure out is, are there particular individuals who have an increased risk for this? And if so, those are people who should clearly get a different vaccine.
And should the message here really be that the regulatory agencies are doing their job? The government is doing what it's supposed to be doing? What do you think?
Absolutely, Bob. That's exactly what the message should be. We, you know, remember, we're talking six people out of 6.8 million that have already received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So this is an extremely rare event. However, it's a serious event, and one individual did die. So this is not something that we can overlook in any way, shape, or form. We have to understand it, and we have to take a pause.
Now, these were all young women, and they had blood clots, and isn't that something that is, I don't want to say common, but not unusual with women in that age group?
No, actually, it's not that common in women in that age group. Blood clots in general are not uncommon in the population, but usually in older individuals. And that's why, if you were to go back and look at the paperwork that Janssen and J&J had presented initially to the FDA when they were seeking approval, you'll see that there were a number of people in the vaccine group who had a little bit of clotting issues, right? And these individuals mostly were older, much older. So even though there were more in the vaccine group, but not a lot more, just a handful more than in the the placebo group, it wasn't enough to raise the alarm. And the number of people who were younger, who say less than 50, was just a couple of men and a couple of women. So it wasn't the same scenario. And that's why it didn't raise the alarm at the time. And the J&J did, in fact, get its EUA. But now that we've seen it in these young women, it does become something that we have to investigate, particularly in light of what we now know about the AstraZeneca vaccine.
And for anyone who has received the J&J vaccine, if more than a month has passed, are they in the clear?
They are completely in the clear if more than a month has passed. What we know from the AstraZeneca vaccine is that a few individuals, very, very rare, make antibodies that cross-react with important clotting elements in our blood, platelets, right? And it leads these platelets to malfunction so that you wind up with these tiny little clots. And this is why you've probably heard, Bob, that you're not immediately immune when you get your vaccine. You start having immunity about 2 weeks later, because it takes about 7 to 10 to 12 days or so to actually develop the antibodies. But again, looked at from a different perspective, if you haven't developed those antibodies after, you know, 7 to 12 days or so, you're not gonna. You didn't. And so you're fine. You're not going to have any kind of problem from that. So assuming it has the same rationale, and also by the fact that all six of these women developed their symptoms within 6 to 11 days, we know, and that's another indicator that perhaps it is some kind of cross-reacting antibody.
And is the main symptom to worry about here headache?
Well, headache is if it has been touted on the news, because many times these little clots get into your brain, and so you have like these little mini strokes, and that's really serious, of course, and that's what happened to some of these individuals. But it can also be pulmonary, because if you have these little small clots, they can end up, it depends on where the clots form as to exactly what symptoms you're going to manifest.
A couple of some questions here, not necessarily about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but all the vaccines. Is it possible that we're going to find out that these vaccines provide some sort of lifelong immunity?
It's possible, but we don't have that information yet, and we won't for a long, long time, Bob. The reality is, there's two competing things. One is, what is the quality of immunity that people get from these vaccines? How many memory cells do you form, and how long do these memory cells last? And then countered with the not known information that coronaviruses in general have not, in the past, been known to generate natural long-lasting immunity. But this is not a natural infection. This is not an infection at all when you give a vaccine, and we're giving a very unique kind of vaccines with exposing people to a different shape, a hardened spike. So we're really hoping that the protection is long-lasting, that it may last many years. But then there's a third element, and that is, if you have if the virus is going to fight back, and the virus is going to, create new variants that could perhaps overcome the protection we have, well, that's a separate issue. That wouldn't mean that we had lost our immunity to the original spike. It would mean that there's new versions of the spike that we then have to develop immunity to. And that's more similar to what happens with the flu virus, right, where we get these vaccines every year, not because we've lost our protection to whatever flu virus we saw last year, but because flu virus has changed so much that we need a new vaccine to overcome the new version.
Mm. Do you think no matter what vaccine we get, we will need an annual booster?
So again, Bob, it's this race between having enough people well protected with good strong antibodies, and this thing not being able to be transmitted from person to person, because every time it's transmitted is an opportunity to form a recombinant virus that can overcome existing immunity. And in fact, just this week, actually it was yesterday, I was in a meeting with some phenomenal folks from the CDC, and we were discussing cases, including I gave them the information on a small family group here in Miami where people were vaccinated but still got COVID-19, and that was because of this problem of certain types of new variants that are out there that can overcome the immunity that people have. Hmm. So we're very concerned about that, and that's why we need people who are vaccinated to understand that they have immunity. They are much safer. There's no question whatsoever, but even the vaccine is only one of the tools in our arsenal. We have other tools, and we need to use them until we can really beat back this virus.
Before we let you go, Dr. Marty, just to impress you, I was reading about the 1918 influenza pandemic, and I discovered that the survivors were able to produce antibodies from memory B cells when exposed to the same influenza strain 9 decades later. How about that?
That can happen for some individuals. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you impressed with me?
I'm always impressed with you, Bob. You're awesome. I was even impressed with the talk on PermaSeal. I thought that was really interesting. It makes me want to call them up because I have a little leak problem.
Oh, yeah. They'll come out to Florida, especially in the wintertime. Dr. Eileen Marty, infectious disease specialist. Thanks, Dr. Marty. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.